What I want to do this morning is tackle an interesting subject for you. And I'm not saying I'm going to have all the answers, and you'll probably have one or two answers left when I've finished, because I only have about 25 minutes. And it's a big subject. It's simple but big. Does that make sense? Not really, because you don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what we're going to do. And I want to start it off like this. The Bible teaches us that God is good. He's a good God. Psalm 34, verse 8 says that, "Taste and see the Lord is good." And there's hundreds of verses say that God is good. He's righteous, he's holy, he's pure, and he does the right thing at the right time in the right way. He's like good, he's perfect. Yeah? The Bible also teaches that God is loving. Psalm 145 talks about that God loves everything that he's made. What does loving mean? He means he's for us, he's with us, he wants the best for us, he wants us to succeed, he wants good things in our lives, right? And the Bible teaches these two things. And then Jesus teaches us that God is our Father. He is kind of that father figure with that paternal kind of oversight and desire to do good things into our life. Romans 4:11, the writer of Romans says that God is a father of all who believe. Yet, and I speak to those who are Christians and those who aren't yet Christians, yet our lives don't always reflect God's perfect goodness. And as we head into 2017, and as we look back onto 2016, there'll be some things that have happened in our lives, and we'll go, well, that didn't feel good. It didn't feel like a perfect heavenly father had really sorted it for me. And all the good things that the Bible promises me, I don't always feel like they've happened in my life. And that's tough, right? It's tough for any one of us, especially gone through a painful thing this year, and some of you have. It's tough. It's not easy. And the question that comes is, why has this happened in my life? Now, I'm not going to be simplistic and give you a straightforward answer, because there isn't one. There isn't one, okay? We don't know why tough things happen to really, really nice people. We just know they do. But what I wanted to try and do is give you some hope and an action plan to say, right, I don't know why it's happening. I'm going to give you one or two suggestions, maybe why, but I don't know necessarily why it's happened to me. But I am determined in 2017 that whatever happens, this is going to be a good year, the best year ever. And that's what I want to try and do. You see, all of us go through rubbish years or rubbish seasons, but I believe God has a great future for each one of us if we choose to walk into it. And we can keep looking back at things, or we can say, no, I'm going to choose to walk into my God future, my God-blessed future. And that's what I'd like to try and do. Well, I'm going to try and pray, because it could be an interesting subject. Father, thank you so much that you do love us and you are a good God. But God, our lives sometimes feel broken and painful. And Father, my prayer is for each one, whether or not they know you yet. God, I pray that you would speak to us and your gentle whisper, your voice of love and joy and peace may enter each and every soul. And particularly, Father, that you may put hope in every single life who sits here or who hears this message online. That they may go, no, there is hope. And there are some simple things that I can do to enter into that life of blessing, God, that you have for me. Amen. Well, I want to begin by perhaps explaining why our lives aren't always as we would hope they were. This is a tough bit. I'll do the tough bit first. Is that okay? And then we do the hope bit at the end. Is that good? Yeah. Is that okay for the back row? Are you kind of with us? You want to wave back row? No, there's some. Yeah, hi guys. There's some young guys at the back. Can you just wave to the speaker nicely? Look at that. Brilliant. They're going to stay engaged the whole time. James chapter 2. Sorry, James chapter 1, verse 2 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. So the apostle James is writing this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I could read other passages as well. But the Bible teaches that sometimes we go through bad stuff, rubbish stuff, horrible stuff. And if we can kind of use it properly or focus and learn all the lessons that we can through these tough times, that we'll come out stronger, more mature, more able to do the things that God has made us to do. Now, that doesn't make it any easier, but it's true. So, I've gone through a few interesting seasons in my life. One of them was when everybody thought I had cancer, or I might have cancer, and my mum will remember this. And I was at Bible College at the time, and I came home, and they tested everything they could. They took blood out of me and did this scan and that scan and all the different scans. And I didn't particularly enjoy it. You don't go like, oh, that was fun, great, you know, I love. As it happened, I don't have cancer. I have something else called Gilbert syndrome, which is a minor complaint and nothing worth fussing about. But during that time, I did something. And I kept my eyes fixed on Jesus, as the Bible teaches you to do. And I tried to conquer the fact, how did I feel if I died young? You know, if my life was going to end in the next year or two, how would I feel about that? And to process my feelings about death. And when I came out of it, I can't say that I want to die today, but I came out of it knowing that it was okay by me for whenever God took me home. I used it to try and learn everything I could. In fact, from that moment on, I vowed that through every difficult trial or situation, I'll say to God, teach me everything you can really quickly so that I can come out the other side having learned everything I need to learn so I never need to learn it again. And I just want to suggest to all of you who've gone through a really tough season or in the middle of a tough season, why don't you say, God, teach me everything you can today so I never need to go through this again. Because God is trying to mature us. And if God's trying to mature me, I want to get it done as fast as possible. Anybody else in for that one? So I just want to really encourage you. If God's either has done or is taking through a tough season, say, I want to learn everything I can. And most importantly, as you're doing the learning, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's really easy in those moments, as it were, to take your eyes off your heavenly hope, focus on the situation, and life just seems tough. But if you can, you might need some friends around you, some help around you, to pick your eyes back off this and fix it back on Jesus. Go, Jesus, you know this sucks, but I'm going to fix my eyes on you and see your love and your hope and your joy and let that enter my heart and soul, not let this take hold of everything that's in. So sometimes tough things happen because God's growing us, or at least God uses the tough things that he hasn't caused to grow us. Feeling encouraged? Great. I think sometimes God allows these things to happen because he's trying to mature us in our circumstances. I.e., God hasn't promised to make us blessed and rich every single moment of our lives. So God has said, look, sometimes you go through trials, and I won't necessarily make you rich because there's some things that you need to go through which will help you, as it were, be content within your soul. So God hasn't promised to make us rich. Paul writes in Philippians 4:12 is this: I have learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. And one of the things that I think all of us need massively these days is peace in our souls. So it doesn't matter what is going on, we can be content with life. And so God doesn't promise us to make us rich or make everything perfect, it's because he wants for us to have contentment. And God, neither does God along that line, promises perfect health. For those of you who know your Bibles well, know that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10, that he had this thorn in the flesh, this something, which was restricting him. And he prayed, he says, three times to God that he would take it away. But God came back over and over again and said, no, my grace and my mercy is sufficient for you, because in your weakness, my perfection can be made known. And Paul writes, he says, so I stop praying and allow God's perfection to work through my weakness. And sometimes God gives us weak things to keep us humble. So, conclusion, don't be too proud. But
that'd be fair enough. So if you're feeling that way, don't be too proud. Because Paul was brilliant, but God sent something just to make sure he relied on God every single day of his life. Now, there are imperfect answers to why these things happen, but they are a answer. Is that okay? They're not perfect answers, but they are a answers. And I wanted to share that before I get onto what I'm going to say so that we can have a round. But positively, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So he's talking about God. Who of you, to verse 9, who of you, if a son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? The Bible over and over again says, for those who follow God, God is looking to bless and to put riches and prosperity into their life. Over and over again. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he doesn't disagree with the Old Testament teaching. Again, for those of you who know your Bibles, know that when the Israelites entered the promised land, God promised them that if they would follow him, they would have long life and safety and many children and riches and peace and just an incredible life if they would follow him. And that promise still stands for us today. And that's why Jesus can say what he says in Matthew 7:11, that God the Father wants to give us good gifts. And so the question is, why do some people seem to have more good gifts than others? And I've been thinking about this for the last month, because it's been Christmas. And obviously, I think at Christmas times, it can highlight things, can't it? It can highlight divisions. And so I was thinking, God, why does this happen? Now, it's too simplistic to cover the whole thing, which is why I shared what I've shared already. But I think God said one thing. He says, most people don't have because they don't ask. It says in Matthew 7, to finish the quote I started, if you, though, then you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who will ask him? In James 4, verse 2, James writes, the apostle, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And I don't know whether it's because we're British or whether we just don't think we're worthy enough, but most of us don't ask big things of God. We just don't. I would say that when I was brought up in church, when I was younger, you wouldn't ask for big things because, well, that would be wrong, even though I can't find that in Scripture anywhere. And if people got big things, they were almost looked down on. You know, how dare you have lots of money? Almost as if it was a sin that God would bless them with lots of money. Or how dare you have a really nice car? As if it was a sin that God would bless them to have a nice car. Or whatever the thing blessing was, you know. How could you have lots of nice holidays? Because surely that's sinful to have nice. I mean, I can't read that in Scripture. All I read in Scripture that God says, if you will follow me, then I'm committed to bless you because I'm your Father and I love you. That's all I can read. And yet, somehow, we'd see. And I think, almost, especially if you've been Christians a while or you've been to other churches, you'll almost have that sense of it's almost wrong to ask for big things. I mean, when was the last time you sat down and said, dear God, I'd love £1 million this year? A cool million would be really, really nice. 100,000 will do, but £1 million. Oh, £1 million would be nice. And if you said that, would you feel a bit guilty for asking? Would you feel a bit? I think lots of Christians would feel a bit guilty for asking. Almost as if, well, that doesn't feel right, or it doesn't sound right, or I'm kind of upping myself, or why would God do that for me? Am I worthy enough? I don't know how, but somehow, many of us feel. And we almost do that in every area. And therefore, I think God's quite simple. And I want to say in this year, in 2017, I think it's the year where you need to start asking God for some big things, some things that you really desire. Some heartfelt things. I can give you some guidance of how to do that, but I think it is. Now, I said the three things to start off with just to kind of put it in context, because it doesn't always happen. But I believe for the majority of Christians, God is seeking to bless them abundantly so he can demonstrate to the world that those who follow him are blessed.
I really believe that. That's why the Old Testament is based on the Israelite nation would be blessed, so the nations around would see and would worship and honor their God. We're the new Israelites. And I really believe that if we would just do what I'm about to talk about, and we would ask God, then God will bless us to demonstrate to the world that following him is a good thing. Because it is a good thing. It is a blessed thing. It's an amazing thing to do. And I want to say, if you're a Christian, well, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian so you can enter the blessings of God. But if you are a Christian, make this year a year where you really ask big from God and stop asking for little things. It's good to ask for little things, okay. I'm not knocking that. But ask for some big things in your life. God, I need a great job. I'm just believing for a great job, whatever it is. I've drawn up a bit of a list here. Can I share one or two of my things? I'm going to use them as illustrations to go along. And I put them into four categories. So I put kingdom building, so church building is my first category. I want to see lots of new Christians. Oh, you know, I'd love to see this year and more than 100 Christians. You know, hey, I'm going to pray for that. Now, it's up to God. God does the work, but I'm going to pray, believing that across our four locations that we will see at least 100 Christians. Now, some may go, oh, Pastor Red, that's rubbish. I'm praying for 500 or if that. Good, go for it. Pray, believe, and pray for these things. I'm going to pray for a healthy church. I'm fed up of sickness and illness. I want you guys to be healthy. And so that you have a healthy year, physically, emotionally, that you have a healthy year. I'm going to pray for all of you. Why should I pray for a few of you when I could pray for all of you? I want to pray for some great leaders, for some key people. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray that God will do amazing things. I want to pray for the girlfriends of my boys, which is just really weird. How can both my boys be old enough to have girls in their life? I mean, wow, when did that happen? Well, I know how that happened. It happens to everybody, but they're still little, aren't they? Right. Uncle Andy, this is my little nephew. He's not little anymore, Andy. He's almost as big as you. Yeah. He's not now. Though he's called Jonathan. Jonathan, not John. Anyway. So I'm going to pray for great girlfriends for them. The girls they've got will be great girlfriends. And for wisdom, I'm going to pray for finance for my family. I'm believing for a great financial blessing in my family. Why shouldn't I ask God for that? Because it's my responsibility to provide for my family. I want that to be done abundantly. I mean, particularly because Jonathan's thinking of going off to university in about 18 months. I'll need a lot of money for that. I will, won't I? Because he'll be expensive, even more expensive than he is now, and that's terrible. He's learning to drive. I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for a supernatural dose of wisdom that I can do everything and make great decisions. I'm going to pray for health. I'm going to pray for a deeper relationship with God like I've never known before. I don't know what dreams or things that you're saying, but I want to say, pray for them. Believe them. Ask. Dare to believe that God loves you enough and cares for you enough. He just wants to bless you because you're his child. Because we do it for our children. Why wouldn't God do it for us? So, have you made a list? Well, actually, at the end of the service, I'm going to help you to make a list or begin to make a list of prayer things. And I hope for some of you business guys, you do put down £1 million for the year. £1 million profit, because that would be awesome. And for some of you going like, I've never had a foreign holiday, put down, God, I'd love a foreign holiday somehow this year. Just go for it. And anyway, I'll talk about that in a second. But I want to give you some guidance, some context as you ask. And very simply, we're going to use Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8. Again, some of you will know this passage. And Jesus says this, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So using these three simple things, I want to give you some kind of thought, some help of how to ask really, really well. So the first one is, ask, and it will be given to you. Now, asking is simple, praying.
praying, talking to God, communicating with him. We're in the middle of the month of prayer. Really a season where we're just talking to God and hanging out with him more. We go, great, well, how do I pray? Well, Matthew chapter 7 is in the middle of what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, a collection of Jesus' teachings. We don't know whether he did them all at once or whether Matthew just put them all together for ease. But either way, they're a collection of Jesus'. And before that, in chapter 6, there's quite a little bit of guidance about how you communicate with God, how you pray, how you talk to him. And I just want to give you four quick things. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you pray, do it privately. Do it on your own so that nobody else knows. And so if you're going to ask, well, you need to ask in your own space. You can ask in church, sure, but truly you need to ask in your own space. You need to put time aside, most days, definitely every week some point, where you're going to pray and hang out with God and say, God, this is my list. I want to re-ask this list because I really believe that this is going to be awesome for me, for family, for church, and I can do incredible things. If you just ask. Jesus almost straight away goes on to say this. So he says, this is ask privately. And then verse 7:8, he says, and ask briefly. Don't babble on like pagans. Because God already knows. And so God isn't expecting you to come out with long, flowing, flowery, poetic prayers that you read in books or professional ministers who are more professional than me would give you from the front. He's asking for heartfelt, short prayers. God, I could really love this, and this is why. And God's going, yeah, I know, my child. Thank you for asking. You have to ask, but he's not expecting you to sit down and do half an hour on why you deserve £1 million or your foreign holiday or whatever it else is you're praying for. He's quite happy with the ask. Got it, ask. If my kids come up to me and ask for too long, I just tell them to go away because I'm bored. Now, God doesn't probably do that, but if you're thinking like that context, it will think, yeah. Yeah, he's got it the first time, he's God, right? So Jesus says he can ask briefly. And I think the idea that Jesus says to ask briefly so that we can spend the rest of the time enjoying his presence. Remember, praying, as the communication, is more about being with him than speaking. And one thing I learned at uni from a friend of mine called Phil was actually hanging out with God is very precious time. You don't always need to talk or necessarily need to listen. Sometimes just hanging out with a great friend is enough, because you just enjoy each other's presence. That's really what prayer is for, enjoying God's presence. And so I think that's why Jesus said briefly. He also says that as we pray, we need to honor God. So we need to be honoring God as we pray. So the prayers need to be God-honoring. And so, but it is still God-honoring to ask for things. You know, my Jonathan, he's learning to drive, and he has already asked a few times, is there any chance we'd buy him a car? The answer is no, not a chance. Unless we get the £1 million, and then you can have one. So you need to pray, I get £1 million, then if you get, anyway. But we need to honor God in what we do. But honoring, it's not dishonoring God to ask him for things. It's really not. You can dishonor God when he asks for things, sure, but it's not dishonoring to ask him. And then, interestingly, in this passage in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus also says, as we pray, we need to make sure that we've forgiven everybody as God has forgiven us. And there's something about coming with a free heart into the presence of God, not a bitter heart or a heart that's cross at people, but a free heart as we come into God that enables God to bless our lives. And I mentioned this, and as I was preparing it and this morning, finishing, I was just thinking, perhaps there's one or two here, and actually, as you pray, you still have unforgiveness in your heart. And that's restricting the blessing of God in your life. Some really horrible stuff might have happened in your life, and you still haven't been able to forgive the people fully and properly that it's happened, that did it to you. And you might not want to come to the front for prayer because you might find that embarrassing, but I want to encourage you, find somebody who you love in church or out of church who knows God and say, I have this, and I'm really struggling to forgive, but I want to enter into all that God has for me, and I know I need to work my way through this. And I recognize it, and you'll feel it inside your heart, speaking, going like, oh, it's that. I just know I can feel it. And you need to find somebody and say, look, can we pray together until actually I've walked through the middle of that and I can look back and go, I have truly forgiven them. Is that okay? Right, so ask it to you. Secondly, Jesus says, seek and you will find. But seek what?
You say, well, seek the thing I want. Well, yes. But actually, if you look round Matthew 7, there's a few seeking things that we ought to do as we do it. Matthew 6, 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and he will add all these things on as well. Well, you can't ignore that when further down Jesus says, seek. It obviously refers, at least in part, back to the fact that we need to seek God's kingdom first. And it means, so as we pray and ask, seeking God's kingdom first comes along with the asking. You know, God bless me with £1 million. Why? Well, I want to bless my family. I want to bless the church. I want to bless the people that you put in my world. I want to do kingdom purposes with £1 million. Along the way, God will say, yeah, you can spend some money on yourself. That's fine. You can, whatever. But there's a purpose, and you're seeking God's kingdom first, and along the way, God is blessing you. Does that make sense? I think sometimes people, especially first time in church, go like, well, I want God to bless me as long as he stays out of my life. That doesn't work, right? God says, if you will follow me and seek first my kingdom, then I will pour my blessing into your life. You know, it's always amazing. So people are really generous. God tends to pour more money into their lives. People are really stingy, tend to get very little in their lives. Because God can pour blessing into somebody's life who is naturally bent for generosity. So seek first his kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 20 says, it says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I.e., when you ask, are you thinking short term or from eternal perspective? And it does make a difference, right? You know, because you can still ask for £1 million or whatever it is, but you're thinking, but more importantly to me is I'm storing up treasures in heaven. And as I use this and bless people and bless my life, I'm really seeking to bless God. And along the way, one of the things which I've been amazed at is when I was 17, I met Michelle, who's in Blackpool this morning, and I was a farmer's son. I spent most of my life within 5 miles of the farm, literally. That's all I'd done. And I'd never travelled abroad. I'd never gone on like these kind of super holidays. And whereas Michelle, she travelled a bit. And within the first 2 years of our relationship, I'd done about 3 or 4 foreign holidays and discovered I loved it. It's so exciting getting on a plane. I still love getting on planes today. Going to the airport, I'm a bit like a little kid. It's like, this is so much fun. Look at the plane out there. Isn't it cool? And that one's big one, that's small one. It's like, wow, I love travel. I do like going on planes. And when God called us into the ministry, and I went in with my eyes fairly well open, I think. Ministers don't get paid a lot of money, right? We're never going to be rich. I'm never going to be a multimillionaire as a minister, am I? I don't think. I might. I mean, God, but sorry. And I just presume that we wouldn't do much foreign travel anymore because it's expensive. And yet through the different roles that God has placed us in, God has blessed us with some amazing foreign trips, either going on mission or friends that he's put in our world, which meant all we need to do is pay for a plane flight and the rest is covered when we get there, which suddenly makes a trip much more affordable. I've traveled all over the world. And the reason why I think I have is because I sought the kingdom of God first and I thought to store treasure in heaven first. And as a result of that, God has blessed me. Now, I'm not promising foreign travel or whatever your dream is if you follow Jesus. But the principle holds. If you put Jesus, you seek him first, seek him first. In Matthew 5, Jesus also calls us to seek to love everybody and to seek to live righteous lives. And finally, knock and the door will be opened to you. Which for me means two things. The first one is you need to keep asking. Briefly, but keep asking. You need to keep saying, God, please, and keep knocking the door. The second is this. Knocking is physical. Yeah? You knock, you bang on the door. And I think as we pray, we should be doing something about our prayers. So, for example, you're saying, God, I could really do with a better job, better paid, better, whatever it is. But if you never apply for any jobs, you're probably not going to get a better job. I.e., praying alone doesn't necessarily, I mean, it can, but God, I think God in general expects us to do the bits that we can do. You know, I'm praying for good health this year. If I'm just praying for good health, I'm going to go to the gym and try and eat less. and pray that God gives me the strength to carry it through, because he'll need to help me to give me the strength to carry it through. And I think sometimes, and I also want to draw close to God. Well, if I'm going to draw close to God, I need to be reading my Bible. I need to put time aside to pray with him and be in his presence. I mean, I just do. Sometimes you're praying and expecting God to do the absolutely impossible because you don't want to do anything at all. And now, God can do it. It's just, you probably go, well, if you can't put at least a little bit of effort in. Now, I can't speak for God, but I think sometimes he says, I'm out. If you can't at least do a little bit towards what I want you to do. And I think that's a knocking bit. That's the opening of the door. The applying for a job, going for exercise, doing the bit that we can do is the knocking on the door. Say, God, I'm serious about this. I'm going to knock on this thing and do the things that I can do to go into it. So my prayer is this year that each one of you may begin to ask for big things in your life and believe that because God loves you and because he's a good God, this is going to be the most amazing, blessed year that you've ever had. There's one or two of you sat in this room about to get married this year. And you know, we want to pray amazing blessing on your lives as you get married this year. We want to believe for great things. And I want to say to you, as you set off in your marriage, believe for an amazing marriage. Pray for an amazing marriage. Just pray that God will bless you financially and physically, in every single way that God will bless you and do great things as a church. Let's do that. But in your life, whatever situation you're in, you might be praying for this. Well, begin to believe bigger than you've ever done before. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. He can change the laws of nature to fix things for us because he's our God. And let's believe for bigger things than we've ever believed for God. And let's ask for them. I really believe that God said to me, he said, tell the people just to ask for things, to ask for these things and believe that I'll come through because I love them and I am a good, good God, as we sing in one of our songs.